has challenged the system, and he's had some support because, you know, the whole argument hinges on, can we use logic and reason to determine the truth? We can't just arbitrarily say we can't talk about this, because then, you know, the people who are saying that are trying to hide something. And, of course, what they're trying to hide was that Germany had no extermination program.
Well, I can't go there with that, John. You know I'm in a hate crime country. They're gonna come to my door.
Okay.
Can you, ladies and gentlemen, in South Africa, can you imagine? You have the freedom to say, this is a South African audience we're talking to, John. They have the freedom to say what you just said without fear of having their door battered down. But I don't in France. Can you imagine? People think France is a first world country, but I run the risk of having stormtroopers come through my front door and dragging me away and jailing me and taking my home from me and the rest of it if I even acquiesce to any of these kind of facts. So the fact of the matter is that I don't live in a place that's free, and I wonder what it is going to take for people to stand up for their rights to think freely, John.
Well, I think if this ethic is allowed to stand, if we're not able to defeat this down the line, it simply means that we're no longer free human beings. This is really the beginning of World War III, even though we've been getting Holocaust stuff since the 60s. This is really how World War III starts, where people are not allowed to tell the truth. And this is the horns of the dilemma that we're on right now. Do we get to tell the truth, or are we just going to be slaves to what we're told we have to do? And I think that if we're just slaves and we have to wave our flag and not question what is done, then we're not really human beings. We're robots.
Well, I've never, you know, what I've hoped to do is raise consciousness on so many issues that there would be a kind of a spontaneous awakening of consciousness on these facts. Now, you know, for me to go from where I started, you watched me in my beginnings. I had 150 listeners at that one point, John, and now we're reaching into numbers that are just astronomical by comparison, because people are hungry for facts. They really want to know the truth.
Well, that's because their governments are all lying to them.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I can't think of a government that isn't lying to its people. But we have to deal with the situation, and this is the situation we have. There's great consciousness emerging about all of the disasters that have taken place in the last decade, starting with, it goes back more than that, but just take
Oklahoma
the last
City
decade.
Bombing and
9/11, 7/7 in London, the Madrid and Bali bombings. None of those were done by Muslim terrorists.
Nobody. That's right. Not a single one. That's right.
None of them.
That's right.
And there's a whole bunch of others, the Beslan school bombing and this Georgia thing. These weren't, in fact, I don't know of any Muslim terrorists. It's like I suspect that whole Palestinian suicide bombing deal was invented by Israel in the late 80s, 87 I think it was. That was the first one, and it's the perfect thing. All I have to do is get a picture of this guy in his garb, kill the guy, put him on a bus, or load him with explosives and put him on a bus, and say that if he isn't going to blow himself up, they're going to kill his whole family. And all, it's just like Islamic Jihad and Hamas were funded by Israel to start.
That's right.
There's no safety in the world, and it's no better in the United States. When we look at the supposed patriot groups in the United States, like the John Birch Society and you just mentioned SCLC and Morris Deans, all of these organizations are set up on one level or another. God, Aryan Nations, the White Patriot Movement Group, was set up by the CIA. They're traps, they're screens, they catch people, and if you like with the 9/11 skeptics movement. If you want to go along and start talking about space beam weaponry and all this other stuff, you can find a place to fit in. But if you want to cut to the chase and talk about Larry Silverstein and Dov Zakheim and the Jewish control of the White House, man, you're on the street.
You know, and that's people, always been the case. And people like, you know, and this is a name that that many of the Pan-African listeners will recognize, Scott Ritter. You went to a presentation of this guy and sat in the audience. What did he say what didn't he say that blew your mind in this presentation, John?
Well, he didn't mention the Jews.
No, and he was visiting Israel as soon as he was done with his visits as an ONSCOM inspector back in the 90s in Iraq. His first stop after he got out of his ONSCOM position was Tel Aviv, Israel. Or Herzliya, yeah, if you will.
Well, that's what they do. It's like the Noam Chomsky syndrome that I like to call it. It's like they'll tell you everything that the United States is doing wrong. William Bloom is another one of those authors who did Rogue State and chronicled all the...
Seymour Hersh.
All of, yeah, no, that's another one. They chronicle everything that's wrong with the United States, but they never quite get to the level of who are the puppet masters who are making these cardboard cutouts like George Bush behave as they do.
Yep, yep. And if you go there, that's the third rail.
That is the third rail.
And but John, what kinds of things are they willing to do? See, I have been ignored but in large measure by these people. You know, if you... Wikipedia, the Jewish-controlled encyclopedia on the Internet, Wikipedia will not do... They put up five or six things on me there, and it's always been taken down because they weren't able to lock it into a lie. People kept editing it, and because it didn't say what they wanted it to say, so they finally said, we never heard of them.
Yeah, they've done the same thing to me, too. Wikipedia is really evil. Oh man, and Google is getting evil too. Like, I just tried to send a friend of mine a story, and it's just, this is not an ISP provider that's blocking me. This is some higher thing that is making the emails disappear. So
you sent me an email, and I never got it, John.
There you go. So I don't know what I'm going to do. If they shut down the internet, it's all over.
Well, they've got plans on doing it. I don't know exactly what they are in detail, but they've got plans, don't they?
I think it's already well underway. I mean, I'm like maybe discovering new ground here where there's some other authority that has complete control of the internet. There's live people looking at the stuff that you send, and they can determine whether or not it gets there or not.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we're in much. And it's like you and I know quite a bit between us.
Yeah.
And we're in much deeper trouble than even we know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is it we're going to be able to do at this level? I mean, all I can do, John, is soldier on in this fight. And you know, a lot of people applaud me for my heroism. You're brave. You're this, you're that. Those laudings and such really don't help me in down the stretch here. What's going to help me down the stretch? What are we going to do to get people to sign on to battle? I mean, and not the kind of physical battle, because you know something, as soon as this turns violent, we lose.
That's right. The minute it gets out of words, we're in big trouble, because we can't even dream of having the firepower to stop these guys. And on the other side of that coin is that when we try to approach existing public officials or even aspiring public officials who want to run for something, the answer is always, oh, we can't talk about it because we'll turn off the general population, which has been conditioned by the Jewish media to accept all these myths. And so there's certainly no clear path to solving this, because all of the people with power have signed on to the scam. Somebody wrote a story on the internet today, it might have been Schwartz, about how the American government now is a RICO scheme, it's a robbery scheme. That's all they're doing. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Yep.
Okay. Just checking my connection here.
Yeah. It is a scam, John. And you know, interestingly, as you're saying that, I'm thinking that as this gets worse, they're just going to keep bleeding out the middle class and lower classes into poverty, into hunger, and then take draconian positions across the United States that are going to get rid of their enemies. They're going to round them up, whatever it takes, and they're going to quash whatever resistance there is if we don't rise up now.
That's right. I've been saying that for 5 years. You know, if we got to do it now, it's only going to get worse, and it's only gotten worse, and it's only going to really get worse because those camps are built. Those camps are real. And there's, I'm talking about concentration camps in America for when martial law is declared, which they're already practicing in various places. I think most of the American people are deluded into thinking that, yes, we're off fighting foreign wars and nothing is really going to affect us here, but the American people have just utterly failed to realize that what the Blackwater people are doing to the people overseas in Iraq and Georgia and whatever else, they're going to do here too. Because this is a worldwide operation. It's not based anywhere except maybe the city of London, that has all the gold and has all the people who push the buttons, and they may take orders from people in castles throughout Europe and rabbis in Israel and other power brokers, but there's no nationality to any of this. There's no nationality to the Jews. The Jews are out to take over the whole world, and the fact is they pretty much succeeded.
Well, they're so emboldened, John, that the fact that we're telling these facts does not even frighten these folks, it seems to me.
No, I don't think it does. I think they're past that point. There was a time that it would have been, you wouldn't have been allowed to, but now they can say, look, we permit free speech, although we're going to throw these guys in jail soon.
Hey, John, I don't do jail very well, John.
No, I don't like it myself.
No. And you know, one of the things that these people out there who've been following me, what they've tried to do, they ingratiated themselves to me. They did a lot of good work in the beginning. One of them was going up against Feingold, and he was going up against Sensenbrenner, and he did all this stuff. And then he hooks up with this ex-Church of Satan guy who's starting a militia, and he says that now we should be an offensive force and go out and shoot people. And, of course, I have come right out as loud as I could and said, this guy is a government op, top to bottom, left to right, and if he isn't, he's doing the government's work for it, and I don't want him within a 1,000 miles of me.
He's a fomenter.
Oh, he's there to get the rest of us thrown in the hooscow, in the jail.
I have another spin on that story, though. I have a number of people that I do trust and that I talk to about such things, and one of them poses this story. What happens if you're stopped driving? This is in America. What happens if you're stopped driving your car for a taillight that's out, which has happened to me once or twice, and the cop goes to write you a ticket and says, oh, there's something irregular with this. Can you come down to the station and we'll do some computer work and get this straightened out? That moment in today's climate in the United States, that moment, if you're a peace demonstrator, if you've said anything bad about the president, if you've expressed any kind of humane sentiment about the inhuman things that our government is doing, when you get down to that station, they're going to send you to a camp, and you'll never be seen again. So when you get in that traffic stop, and you know that this could happen, like if it was me or you, we'd know that it could happen.
Oh, absolutely.
What do you do at that moment?
Well, it might be your last chance to be free.
It is your last. It might be your last chance to be alive. Because there's so much Homeland Security crap going on now. You don't know what kind of directives these cops have, these local cops. They're just following orders. But if you get down to that station and they look on the computer and bam, you're on the red list, you're going right to a camp. No trial, no lawyer, no evidence, no appeal. These have all been done away with. We got the Patriot Act now, and you're a danger to national security because some Jewish neocon said you were.
That's right, John.
So this is, there's a new level of immediacy to our situation. I keep telling people that we can't afford, not another second, afford to tolerate these public officials who are playing along with this totally phony Bush line about weapons of mass destruction and Arab terrorists. And these are fictions. The Arab terrorists were invented by the CIA. They were, it was Zbigniew Brzezinski who recruited the Mujahideen, which had a Jewish base to it due to the Wahhabi sect being Jewish. And that's a whole other thing, Saudi Arabia and Israel. We might get into that at a future date. I need to do a little more research on those Richard Clark remarks. Insisting that this is so, but...
Well, I do know that Bin Laden's mother was a Yemeni Jew.
Yeah, well, what do you do when your car is stopped? And it might be your last moment on Earth. What do you do? Most people would say, okay, I'll get out of the station, and that's the last we'll ever see of them.
Well, I'm already on the no-fly list, and I can't go back and see my family. I can't go back and without any safety. I just can't leave where I am, and... If I stay here, Nicolas Sarkozy's going to send a goon for me.
Yep. Yep, he's a goon himself.
Yeah, well, he's working with the same bunch. I mean, there's absolutely not a dime's worth of difference between him. In fact, he might be closer to the criminals than George Bush.
It's hard to tell, but I I have the feeling, after reading for 5 years, that they're all on the same team. One of the things I've noticed about all the wars that have happened in the last 200 years is that the funding source has been the same for both sides. That's one of the great facts that people need to realize. It starts with the Rothschilds of Frankfurt, and it has reached out now in 200 years, 220, 30 years, across the entire world, where nothing of a financial transaction that takes place in the entire world is not monitored by this central group, knows about it, and very likely can influence it. So we've lost our power. Technology has become the tool of our masters to keep us exactly where they want us, which is not knowing too much, but still producing and consuming as much as possible.
Well, and that system is coming under pressure now. You can watch the implosion of the bond market and the housing market and the dollar's tanking. And now there's been a temporary reprieve for the dollar, but that's going to end real soon.
Yeah, we do. I think they're going to allow the election to happen first. I think this is a controlled crash. They're milking it as best they can in every way. And I think the things, people keep saying everything's not in place yet, and I think we're going to get McCain, and then he's going to make Bush look like a liberal.
Oh, he's a lunatic.
Yeah, well, they all are lunatic.
You think there's a Luciferian, satanic edge to these people?
You know, I don't know. It's like, I don't know how productive it is to go there when you start throwing around evil. Yes, of course, everything they do is evil. But there seems to be something even more than that. There seems to be, like, this headlong rush toward mass suicide. By provoking all these wars and spreading around all this depleted uranium, and have you read about the Morgellons nanobots and the chemtrails?
Yes, it's a microplasma, a fungal plasma that gets into your body and grows into strange excretions from your skin.
That's right, and that's been deliberately inflicted upon us by our lovely scientists. That's not a natural thing. That was created.
Well, John, they just got done. Let me tell you, John, they just got done spraying the skies of France so unbelievably heavy here, and then right after it, it rained, and all of my garden died, all of it.
There's a strong case to be made that there really is an extermination plan, and I don't know what the reason for it is, except it'd probably be better for real estate prices if there were fewer people. And there seems to be a plan in the United States to depress prices so that everything that's left can be bought up by the rich that control the world. That seems to be what's going on here. They're going to crash all the fiat currencies and rejigger them into something else, making huge profits in the process and causing a lot of misery in the process. But that's what they do, and, you know, you and I keep saying the same thing month after month, year after year. We need some kind of honest government. And it could well be, Daryl, you'll have to admit, that it among human beings, it might just be impossible. Certainly with the Jews in control, it is impossible. And I'm betting that if the Jews weren't in control, that maybe there would be enough reasonable people around to make an honest society work. But what we're seeing today is we're headed toward totalitarianism, where the people who control the money and the media are going to dictate what's happened, and they're going to, through vaccines and behavioral conditioning and the new awful education in American schools, they're going to turn us all into robots. And if you walk the streets of America, you see that the plan has largely succeeded.
Well, I think it's paralleled here in France, of course, in Germany, and in the rest of the world. But there are sparks of anger coming. I mean, I've found a much more receptive audience as their wallets have been, their pockets have been picked, and their money's disappearing. People are looking to find out what the heck happened to them, to their money. And they're actually turning to these facts in numbers now, John. I mean, you know, we're not winning in the mass here, but we are certainly turning a lot of heads.
No question about it. There's much more talk about Israel now, and I'm really kind of proud of who I consider my colleagues, the internet community of writers, like, and we have individual grievances with many of these people, but they're really kind of on the same team. People like Kurt Nimmo and Mike Whitney and even Carl Schwartz, to the level he can go. Everybody jumped on this Georgia thing as a setup.
Yeah, but how can a guy like Schwartz be working for DARPA? Come on.
Who knows? Who knows who does what for what reason? I don't know.
I don't work for DARPA, John.
And I think you have too, but you've constantly been misled and disappointed by any number of people, as have I. And it's like you don't know what they're doing, and you just kind of have to take your best guess and push on. What I was trying to get at is that the supposedly conscious writers on the internet instantly picked up what was going on in Georgia. It was impossible to hide. And by stark contrast, the American media, like CNN, were just proving themselves to be stupid, deliberately lying puppets by saying this was a move by Russia to take over Georgia, when in fact it was Russia trying to protect Russian citizens who lived in this one enclave.
Well, is there a place on Earth that's safe from these crooks? I mean, is Russia one of the places emerging as a safe zone?
I have no idea to say that. I kind of like the Russian media better than the American media, though. Pravda's pretty good reading, although they're like any newspaper. They're a little odd at times with their sense of humor. But
well, they're still pushing the Bin Laden did 9/11 stuff, though, John.
Well, what I'm saying, there's the Iraq War.ru that's good, and everybody has an axe to grind. But I think the truth certainly is that false flag operations appear to be the order of the day. They've happened throughout the 21st century. The first 8 years of the 21st century has been dominated by false flag operations meant primarily to defame Muslims, to give the powers of the West, which are all controlled by Israel, the right to keep the population of the that area, the Golden Crescent, and on over towards India, to keep those people from mobilizing into the Muslim nation that they already are. Now, I don't really know that much about Islam, except every Muslim I've met has been a pious, sincere person.
I know the same truth, John.
Which is more than I can say for any other denomination I know. But I'm puzzled by how the public consciousness in the Islamic countries hasn't perceived that they're totally controlled by outside interests. Like
their leadership is throwing them out.
Yes. Well, I suppose we could say that in America, too. But the obvious example is Mubarak, who gets more aid from the United States than anybody in the world except Israel. And
right.
He is paid that to keep the Islamic resistance in Egypt in check.
That's right.
Musharraf was another one.
King Abdullah,
yep. And, of course,
King of Morocco as well.
Yeah. So that makes me wonder about not to say anything bad, but I suppose you could say the same thing about the United States or France. At least none of the Muslim countries have a Jewish president, eh?
That's right.
But we don't know that actually.
Well, that, you know, they're Freemasons though. We've proven that in my research. The group in Jordan and King Abdullah, his father was a leading Freemason in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
All I know is that the Saudi royals don't act like real Muslims to me. Not when they got, you know, billion-dollar yachts and 700-room houses in Colorado they're not behaving like Muslims. They're behaving like Jews.
Well, John, we've come to the end of my hour here, and I want to thank you for doing this with me.
My pleasure,
you've expanded, Darryl, your voice. You've got a bigger voice today in another part of the world that you would not normally have spoken to, and it's great to have that chance, I think, for me to share this time with you. You know, we're going to do it again, John, because we've been separated too long, my friend, and I apologize to you for that separation.
All right.